Now, as part of our election coverage here on the Country Hour, we've been taking a look at some of the key issues for primary industries. And arguably, it doesn't get any bigger than water, that all-important resource. As we head towards the election on Saturday, what are the major political parties saying about H2O? Not just for farmers, but for the environment. Dan Fitzgerald begins our coverage.
The potential for development in the Top End has often leant on the belief that there's endless amounts of water available. But after two below average wet seasons, that belief is being tested, with some farmers and cattle producers having to pump more water from underground. In Katherine, that's meant growers have had to work together and commit to not using their full pumping allocations so that everyone had the water they needed. And the town itself has been on water restrictions since 2017. For Katherine melon and mango grower Mitchell Curtis, water licence security is key.
We've really got to have strength around our water and our supply of water so that, you know, in the future we can make long-term decisions on based on the availability of the water. I know in a year where there's no water like this year, where there's been really bad wets, we got to, you know, everyone's got to tighten the belt, but we need security around a normal year that we are going to have our water.
In just the last few weeks, a number of plans have emerged that could see a huge increase in the amount of irrigated agriculture in the Top End. Parcels of land near Larimer, Wildman Plains, Keep River, Gun Point and the Douglas Daly have all been put forward as potential regions for irrigated ag. And with many aquifers in the Top End already nearing full allocation, there's plenty of people wondering where water for those developments will come from. In Central Australia, farmers are keen to make use of the large amounts of underground water in the region. Table grape grower Philip Marciano says farmers were led to believe the tea tree region was open for further development, before being left disappointed when no additional water was made available in the region's water plan.
I wouldn't have invested the money, even what I invested up here, if I the direction I was given that that it was looking for future development of agriculture up in this area, in the Teatrick area and also in the Alice Springs area, and it was part of our plans to go ahead. But obviously, it's a different direction when the plan come out. No, you're spending millions of dollars here trying to grow something that we haven't got water, which water is our main aspect of agriculture.
So what policy announcements have been made regarding water? So far this election, Labor has promised to build on its reforms of the Water Act from its term in government and deliver a Northern Territory Strategic Water Plan, which would set out a long-term approach to water management.
So we need to look for 30 to 50 years ahead what the Territory's needs are around water. Look towards a strategy that is all-encompassing, that looks at what's happening broader than just the Northern Territory, technology, ideas, whether that's grey water recycling, whether that is water tanks, anything that we can look at to provide that long-term strategy for water across the Territory.
Labor has also pledged to plan for the impacts of climate change, water for bushfires and water for times of drought. Territory Alliance has pledged to reform groundwater extraction licences. It's promised $6 million to subsidise water tanks in the Darwin rural area and build a $150 million pipeline to connect Manton Dam with Darwin River Dam to boost the region's drinking water supplies.
The scoping studies, the feasibility has already been conducted, but under Territory Alliance we'll make moves to ensure that that is brought forward, $150 million, and commenced in October of this year. It will provide thousands of jobs. It provides us with the opportunity to lobby the Commonwealth for some infrastructure support, but most importantly, it provides the foundation upon which we can truly dream about diversifying the Territory economy and stabilising the economy of the Northern Territory and taking away that terrible draw that we have on our aquifers and make sure that we open it up and have a greater supply of water.
The Country Liberal Party has also promised to subsidise rainwater tanks in the rural area. The centre point of its water plan is to fast-track the construction of a major water infrastructure development. The CLP says it will back whatever project a current NT government study into a water infrastructure business case puts forward.
So we know that this report is looking at all opportunities for water storage and infrastructure in the Territory. And so we imagine that as part of those, it must be looking at whether or not Manton can come back online, which of course we would be keen to look at, but ensure that the recreational opportunities are still available at Manton. I think off-stream storage will be looked at as part of that report. But our commitment is into ensuring that we are shovel ready and move very, very quickly to deliver whatever the recommendations are of that report in our first term of government.
And one common thread running through all three major political parties' policies is a pledge not to put meters on residential bores in the Darwin rural area.
We are talking water on the Country Hour today. What a topic, hey? If you've got a question, if you want to get involved with this conversation, then let it flow. Our text 0487991057. The text number at the Country Hour 0487991057. I'm joined in the studio by Simon Smith. He's the president of the NT Farmers Association. He's also sitting on Team Territory, which is advising the Territory Economic Reconstruction. Water, our topic today, Simon. Has there been any announcements or policies that's really caught the attention of your members?
Yeah, g'day, Matt. Thanks for the question. Look, the interesting one is we're really pleased to see that farming, and particularly the water aspect, it's front and centre now for all political parties. It's interesting that now there seems to be a very strategic approach by the parties to water, and understanding that we don't want a single policy announcement, say, for a massive dam on an iconic river. What we want is a science-based and reasoned approach to the water uses that are needed by all territories, not just farmers, but the water use for towns, for the environment, etc. So we applaud all three political parties to, I think, having a sensible approach.
There hasn't been much said about water, though, really, has there, over across the three major parties?
No, there hasn't.
I mean, that was a pretty brief package there for
Dan.
Yeah,
I think Dan had to pad it out to get it in. Look, there's certainly, you know, the announcements around the Darwin River Dam and extending the water storage for Darwin, and the potential that might bring some ag or sort of, you know, high-value horticulture to the region is important. I think the rural residents will applaud the moves to subsidise tanks and to look at water use in the rural area. So we feel with water it's really important that we take a long-term strategic approach. Farmers need certainty around their water, but water has many other uses, and we don't want to make the mistakes that have been made elsewhere.
In the NT Farmers' five key election priorities, you've highlighted the need for overland water flow capture. Now, can you explain to us what that is and what you're after?
So I guess the key point there is that what we're looking to encourage around particularly our broad acre farming up here is taking advantage of the position the Territory has that very few other places have, where we get a good wet season in the top sort of third or so of the Territory. If we can capture some of that flow on farm, we'll call it for ephemeral storage, so short-term storage to finish off a crop. So a farmer can plant through the latter part of the wet or as the groundwater is still high and then use some storage on farm to finish that crop off. Not store massive quantities of water forever, but a certain amount of water that would enable them to irrigate for a few months to finish a crop off.
No matter what happens during the wet season?
No, we'd look at, again, this is where we need, again, governments and a lot more science behind this. It needs to be something that enables sufficient flow to maintain the environment. So we would see that, say, in a dry year, it may not be possible to capture water on farm. But in a big wet, a 20% or less take from the available water that's flowing would be something that's sustainable and makes good sense to increase productivity on farm.
If dryland cotton is going so well, then why the need to even raise the prospect of weirs and water capture?
Yeah, so that's a good point. And dryland cotton is looking very promising. I guess in areas where there's other potential crops as well, and an ability to finish a crop. So cotton, rather than a fully irrigated crop, it might be a partly irrigated crop to gain a higher yield. And if that irrigation's, that water's available in a way that is environmentally sound and can be used by that farmer to, I guess, spread his risk to enable a greater return for the same area of cropping, that's sensible.
Potentially turn 4 bales a hectare into 6 bales a hectare.
That's the sort of stuff, exactly right. And to also look at where it might be used, as I say, for other forms of cropping. And it's just another one of the mechanisms we can use to then reduce our need to pump out of the groundwater to potentially, as people are so worried about pumping out of rivers. We don't want to see that here. We want to think of clever ways and new ways that we can farm this country, but do it in a way that, we look at it as the sensible centre. We want to see development, but we respect there's a lot of other needs for water in the environment and other uses.
A question on Facebook from Derg said, I get the sense that sustainable water allocations are already at capacity. How can agriculture be allowed to expand, says Derg?
So there certainly are areas that are now fully allocated, but what we're trying to do is work with our growers around there'll be opportunities for water trading, so we want to see highest and best use for that water. We're about to announce a major project that will be for the next 4 years on productivity, efficiency and sustainability, sustainable water use on farm. We'll have a project officer who will work on that. So we'll work with growers to increase yields using the same amount of water, look at crop options, rotations, maybe planting earlier in the wet when there's still available groundwater, and making sure that licensed water use is maximised. Farmers have a licence to use water. They have every right to move from crop to crop and to use it as productively as possible, and that's what we'll encourage. We don't want our water to be wasted. We want every bit that's allocated to farming to be maximised.
If you're tuning in, this is the Country Hour, speaking to Simon Smith, President of NT Farmers, talking water today, a big topic in the Territory. And if you want to join the conversation, the text 0487 99 1057, a text here from Mark that says, the pollies can say what they think about groundwater, but the elephant in the room is thousands of bores in Darwin's rural area that have the right to pump without any restriction on vast lifestyle gardens. The government is still giving BCPs to rural blocks that already have town water. You can't put the cart before the horse. It's a statement from Mark, but I guess for you, Simon Smith, would NT farmers like to see residents with meters on bores, just like your members?
I think ultimately what we'd like to see is a far better monitoring of the resource, and that means that understanding what those landholders use. It's certainly a debatable topic amongst our members whether we should push for meters or not. I think the bottom line is there's a resource there that needs to be used as productively as possible. The same way as our growers need to comply with their licensing requirements, we don't want to see wastage on rural blocks. We want to see those people use it efficiently. I think in the first instance, far more education, but at least enough meters and knowledge around what's being used. So the homeowner knows approximately what the benchmark is for using water, and where they can reduce it, that's what we like to see.
Well, on this topic, a question from the Red Centre. Do you think the Territory Government does enough water monitoring to really understand how much groundwater there is underneath our remote parts of Central Australia?
Look, I'm sure the Territory Government does as much monitoring as it probably can justify with the finances it has. But that's one of the areas we would definitely encourage a lot more research into the future. Again, coming back to what we see as the way we can develop ag and hort in the Territory, there's a certain amount of available water. We would like to use that in the most productive way. If we can get the best science available to tell us what water's available, that's what we want to see. We don't want to mine the water. We would like to just use it sustainably, and we need science to make sure we're doing the right thing.
Last week, we spent a fair bit of time talking about this proposed Douglas Daly Stage 2. The next day, it featured in the election commitments of the CLP. Have you heard from the other parties and what they make of Douglas Daly Stage 2?
Yeah, so Douglas Daly Stage 2, I guess, comes into that package that we've put out to all political parties around precinct development. And we've had support from all three parties for that. And not specifically Douglas Daly Stage 2, but around this concept that rather than trying to look at this sort of development ad hoc across the territory, we're struggling to find arable and available land, and precincts like Douglas Daly are definitely the way to go, and clearly the political parties have seen that.
Late on Friday here at the Country Hour, we received 4 dot points of Labor's ag policy. No mention of cotton in those dot points. What has Labor told NT farmers in terms of the commitment that you're seeking in terms of investment and support for a cotton gin at Katherine?
So at this stage, we don't have any commitment from the Labor Party to support the gin. We certainly have heard from Minister Kirby that he's supportive of the cotton industry, and I noticed that that Labor certainly supports diversification across the territory. We understand it's a controversial topic as well. Cotton needs to be something that we discuss a lot more. We very much welcome debate with the Environment Centre and others around cotton. We think modern cotton has a lot to offer the territory, and it's misunderstood. Interestingly, our CEO Paul Burke appeared at the Eco Fair in Alice Springs recently to talk about hemp.
Yep.
Now, it's interesting that hemp is okay, but cotton's not. They're both very important fibres. They're both natural. In some ways, cotton suits the territory a lot better. It can be grown through the wet season, where hemp probably can't. Most hemp will need to be irrigated. Both of those crops have a place in the territory, but what we need is a factual debate about it. We need to talk through what are the issues, and the Environment Centre will come to the table with some important issues that need to be addressed. But let's not just do it an all or nothing thing. Let's discuss it. Let's come up with some recommendations. Excuse me. And let's make sure that as we go forward, there's regulations and legislation that enables good crops like cotton to go forward, but that the public understands that they're not going to kill their rivers and that they are going to provide a lot of economic drivers and jobs for the regions particularly.
There's a lot of talk about what the Western Davenport region might look like in the coming 5 years. Are we any closer to seeing any applications approved and start to get the first hint of what's happening there?
Yeah, so I think we are. There's a couple of large proponents for development in the Western Davs. We obviously already have one very successful farmer in Paul McLaughlin down there with his melon farm. We have some basically blocks ready to go for investors through the Alida projects. So there's blocks there for developers to discuss with Centre Farm in Alice Springs how they might be developed with capital input and, you know, to be a turnkey proposition for them. We do have very large other proposals on the table that are awaiting approval, and hopefully we'll have some good news on that very soon, because that is probably the best opportunity for a precinct development in Central Australia.
Western Davenport.
Yep.
Just before I let you go, Team Territory. You're on this Team Territory. You know, is it just another government task force, or do you feel it's making a difference?
Look, I hope it's not. I think it's tasked. I think one of the things that's interesting with the Territory at the moment, we've got this terrible situation with COVID-19. We've got the opportunity to come out of it with some plans for the future. Team Territory, it's a lot of what you've heard the political parties talking about. How can we cut red tape? How can we reduce those sort of burdens on industry? But how can we kickstart the economy in the next 3 to 6 months? That's what, you know, it came out of the NT government's green paper, and we'll be helping to advise their sort of higher level group, the Territory Economic Recovery, Reconstruction Commission, and a lot of that will be around ag and how we can develop ag going forward and how we can push those enablers through, how we can reduce those times for approvals and so forth and get ag moving.
Over the last couple of months, I just feel like we've heard so many stories about potential ag development areas. We've heard about Ord Stage 3 and Larimer and Wildman, Western Davenport, Douglas Daly. Is there one that you truly feel is the low-hanging fruit and could start next month?
We probably see Larimer as the key there. Larimer has a water licence in place. It has, I think there's about 10,000 meg there available. There's...
I've forgotten the land size.
I think it's 6 or 12,000 hectares down there as well.
Yeah.
And we've got a similar amount out in Wildman, where there's 12,000 megs and about 2,500 hectares of land that's freehold title. So those enable people And there's also in that Larimer precinct, there's some of those Alida blocks that are ready to lease basically straight away.
Yep.
So they'll get going quickly. Douglas Daly, Western Dav's probably a little bit behind, but hopefully quicker. Douglas Daly and perhaps the Ord, there's probably a little bit more time lag in those.
Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Matt.
That is Simon Smith. He is the president of the NT Farmers Association.
G'day, I'm Brad Inglis from Sturt Plain Station, south of Dunmara on the Stuart Highway, and you're listening to the NT Country Hour.
Where the time is 9 minutes to one. We're joined this afternoon by Jason Fowler, who's from the Environment Centre NT. We're talking water today. Jason, for you, has there been any water policies or announcements that have really struck a chord with your members there at Environment Centre NT?
Oh, g'day, Matt. Yeah, there's been some pretty scary policies, actually. We're quite worried about a lot of this cotton development and the, you know, push from particularly Territory Alliance to build a major cotton gin in Katherine. I think that the key thing that people have to realise is cotton is a major global commodity, and there's literally no limit on how much of it you can grow, and it's worth quite a lot of money. So,
and that's why farmers are looking to grow it, I guess.
That's right. It means it'll be an enormous amount of pressure to gain a lot more water to grow as much as possible.
At the moment, the industry is aiming to do 80% dryland cotton, maybe 20%. Irrigated cotton. I guess, why are you so doubtful and against this idea of dryland cotton?
Well, there's quite a few problems with that. Not only do you have to clear an awful lot of land, and there's still a lot of chemical use on this modern cotton, which they are bringing out. But, you know, you also need at least a metre of rain or better to grow a viable cotton crop. And if you look at Katherine, for example, you know, they get just under a metre of rain on average. So as a farmer, you'd have a 50-50 chance at best of growing a viable crop. And I don't think many businesses would, outlay a lot of money with a 50-50 odds against you. So, they're going to be pushing really hard for more irrigation water to make sure that these crops come through.
I think a lot of these cotton farmers themselves have said, you know, dryland cotton, you'll have some good years. You'll have a few bad years. But that's just farming, though, isn't it, Jason Fowler?
You've got a lot of these big stations nowadays are owned by major corporations and big companies, and they want to see return on investment. So they're going to be pushing really hard to make sure that these crops are viable and they make a lot of money out of it. So the pressure's on.
Wanted to pick your brains about Territory Alliance's pledge for $150 million to pipe water from Manton Dam to Darwin River Dam. What's your thoughts?
Oh, dearie me. Yeah, we'd certainly need to see a lot more detail on that proposal. It's pretty hard to comment on that without knowing exactly what they're planning to do with all that water and how it's all going to work. It would need to go out for public comment, and we need to have a good hard look at it. At the end of the day, we want to see rivers looked after and kept in a very healthy condition, and we'd make sure that this kind of proposal doesn't degrade anything around it. So, sorry, mate, I can't give you a great deal on that one.
In terms of improving the water security for the Greater Darwin region, is there a preference there at Environment Centre NT?
Once again, we'd have to have a good hard look at that. We're pushing really hard right now for a Clean Water Drinking Act, to make sure that people do have access to clean drinking water, which is quite a critical thing. We'd have to really assess that properly.
And just on cropping in the top end, the Environment Centre has been pretty clear with its stance on cotton, but is there a crop that you would love to see farmers pursue?
Not necessarily a single crop. We want to make sure that any crop that's grown is sustainably done. That's the big problem with cotton, is that it's such a big global commodity that it really does, bring in the biggest companies going and the biggest lobbyists and the most amount of money. And that's what we've seen happen in New South Wales and Queensland, where, the Darling River system has come under an enormous amount of pressure and really been degraded quite severely because of, big cotton farmers.
So are you anti-cotton or just anti-broad-scale farming?
No, not necessarily. We are particularly worried about cotton for those reasons. As you know, right now, the water allocation plans for most of that Douglas Daly area are fully allocated or over-allocated. So, there's a lot of big questions there. How can you possibly develop that much land? Where are you going to get the water from? It's already being used.
Thanks for your time today.
No problem. Thanks, mate.
Jason Fowler, he's from the Environment Centre NT.